98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadero. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Got any more movie quotes for me today, Gambo?
Oh, do you want a couple?
Bring them!
All right.
Bring it. Gambo, for those of you who weren't with us yesterday, Gambo got this book from his wife or one of his daughters.
Kids.
And it's got like famous movie quotes in them. And
all right, we're gonna go over a couple of these. You ready?
Give me one.
Okay. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That is Humphrey Bogart from
Gone with the Wind.
1939.
No, it's not. Okay, it's not Humphrey Bogart. That's Clark Gable from Gone with the Wind.
Oh, Clark Gable's Gone with the Wind. Okay.
Well, I'm off to a good start, so let's give me another one.
Here's looking at you, kid.
That's Humphrey Bogart.
That is Humphrey Bogart.
And that's from the Casablanca.
Casablanca.
Yes.
Go ahead, make my day.
That's. Is this like trivia music we've got here?
You're not going to get this next one.
Okay. Go ahead, make my day.
Yeah. Well, that one you're going to get.
Clint Eastwood Dirty Harry. You had that one yesterday.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Oh.
1950 movie.
You know what? You got me. I don't know.
That is Sunset Boulevard, Gloria Swanson.
All right, I think you should end on that. You got me. I'll give you one more. Okay.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Oh, that could be 10,000 movies.
1950, All About Eve.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I mean, some of these are freaking hard. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to get these.
Some of these are hard. Well, these movies are, 80 years old. some of them I haven't seen, and Gone with the Wind, frankly, I haven't seen in a long, long time. All right. This is good. I don't know if we're going to do this every single day. We probably shouldn't. But you keep going through that book, Gambo. It's good for you. I like that. It's
Just trying.
You got to get your movie knowledge up to standard.
No, I mean, they got other things. Like,
Sure.
Like, here's what. Federal holidays. How many of the 10 official U.S. federal holidays can you name? Then there's one, letter speller. Animals. Can you come up with at least one animal for every letter of the alphabet? Like, how do you come up with an animal with X? Or I? How do you come up with an animal with an I? What animal is with an I?
Iguana? Am I?
There you go. Iguana.
Okay, forget it.
Well, that was
2 seconds. I sat there for 40 minutes, couldn't come up with one. 2 seconds, this idiot comes up with one.
Idiot? Does that count as an animal? Mm. That starts with I. Does that count as one?
How about a U? What animal starts with a U?
A
unicorn.
That's not an animal. I'm saying, like, these things, it's supposed to help my brain. This is hurting my brain.
It's hurting my brain, too. So, yeah, you know what? Let's change the subject and weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
We start with the Arizona Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury today meeting with the media. The final regular season game coming up on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. Win and a 49ers win against L.A., and the Cardinals will win the division. Lose, and the Arizona Cardinals, it could be Dallas, it could be Tampa Bay, it could be the Rams on the road. There's still a lot to be determined. And when it comes to the health of this roster, there is still a lot to be determined. Let's start with the cornerbacks. An update from Cliff on Robert Alford and Marco Wilson.
Yeah, it is. That doesn't look great for return within the next couple of weeks, at least. And then Marco's really day-to-day, trying to get that shoulder feeling good enough to practice and start getting back into it. So we'll see how that plays out this week.
All right, so just to clarify there, Robert Alford doesn't look good, at least in the next couple of weeks. Marco Wilson's day-to-day.
Yeah, yesterday when I gave you the news that three guys were coming back, I said, I'm not hearing anything good on the two corners, so I have some concerns there. That I'm not hearing anything good on their return for this week's game. So I'm kind of thinking that they're going to go to Seattle game without either one of those guys. Could be why they've got, you know, Breland on the practice squad now, why they protected Breland, Breshad Breland on the practice squad. I mean, I don't know if he can get up to par by the time they play and be elevated to game status, but it's possible. But I was not getting any good vibes from what I was when I was doing my checking on those two corners.
Yeah, as far as the running backs go, we can tell you based off of the observers at practice, and I'm speaking specifically of the reporters who were there during the open portion of practice, the part of which they're allowed to tell us what they saw. James Conner was on the field getting some work done. Chase Edmonds was not. Cliff Kingsbury, when talking about his two running backs, said,
"It'll be day to day. Yeah, we'll see how they progress throughout the week. Those are two guys that we, you know, need healthy moving into the playoffs, obviously. So we got to be smart with them. But if they can go, we'll definitely try to get some work."
There's that word again, smart. But if they can go, we'd like to get them some work. Again, Connor was on the practice field in some capacity. Chase Edmonds was not, Gambo.
I think it really comes down to what is the level of interest in winning this football game? I mean, I think it's great, but I don't think it's great at the expense of, you know, potentially bringing a guy back too soon and give, you know, even if it is a 10% chance he hurts himself and is not available for the playoff game.
Yeah, that, look, the whole thing comes down to that. What is, in your words, what is your level of interest in winning this football game? Now, there's no question that if the Cardinals were in a situation like the Niners were in, or the Saints were in, or the Chargers, or the Raiders, where you had to win this game, or you weren't going to get in, I'm sure it's all hands on deck. I'm sure they would, hey, James, Chase, whoever's available to suck it up, suck it up. Get out there and play, because we need all hands on deck to win this game to try to get in. The Cardinals are not in that position. And so Cliff today was asked what we like to call the money question. How do you balance getting guys back to play, but also understanding you've got a playoff game in a week and a half?
Yeah, we want to win the game. I mean, that's our goal. We felt like we made a stride last week, and we want to keep that momentum going. I think that's huge going into the playoffs to try and be playing some of our best football. And we'll be smart about some of those guys that are a little banged up, knowing the ultimate goal. But we're going to do everything in our power to win this game.
What do you make of that answer?
I think it's everything that we've been saying. Look, we're going to try to win this football game. We think we can win it if we're missing. You know, we don't need our full roster. We could, you know, if we're without three or four guys, we could still win that game. We're going to play to win the game. We're not going to go. So basically what he's saying is, if there's a guy that's banged up and, you know, it's kind of iffy, he's not going to play. That guy's, but we're going to play to win. We're not going to be like, Kyler's just going to play the first half and then come out. No matter what the score is, if we're ahead, if we're behind, if it's tied, we're just going to get him two quarters. No, Kyler's going to play the whole game if they have a chance to win. The healthy guys, this is the way I would put it. The healthy guys are going to play the whole game if they have a chance to win. The guys that are banged up, they may not play in this game, but it doesn't mean they're still not trying to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, you're always, look, every football player who goes out there is trying to win a football game. Now, you could make an argument that, like, the front office would rather you not win. And I'm not talking about the Cardinals. I'm just talking about in general here. The front office might not want to put its best front foot forward so we can get a better draft pick or whatever. But you get 11 football players out there, they're always trying to win a football game, no matter whether those guys are first on the depth chart, third on the depth chart, on the practice squad, whatever. They're going to try to win that football game. But I think the distinction you point out is one that it is. It's pretty clear. Colt McCoy's not playing in this game, all right? Their starters, the ones who are available, are going to play. But they're not going to put themselves in any kind of jeopardy with guys who are on the mend, who are nursing injuries. And with that in mind, I don't know what to expect from the running backs. I'd be really surprised if we see Chase Edmonds out there, just a hunch. And I'd be, at this point, maybe even a little surprised to see James Conner out there. Does that mean if those guys don't play that the Cardinals aren't trying to win the game? No, doesn't mean that in my mind. But I'd be really surprised to see both of those guys out there Sunday. You've got a bigger game coming up in a week and a half than the one against Seattle.
Yeah, no, I think we're on the same page. I mean, and it's not like if one could go, I mean, if both guys are banged up, they're not going to play it. I'll go with, you know, with Ward and Eno Benjamin and, you know, try to win that game. Now, Rondale Moore, maybe he gets a couple of carries if he's back. But I think if you're healthy and you can play, you're going to play. I think what Cliff's saying with, you know, we're going to play to win the game is that there's no intentions of going out there and saying, hey, we're just going to, you know, this guy's just going to get a quarter, or we're going to pull Kyler at the half because we don't want to. I mean, if the outcome of the other game is out of reach, you may look at that. Like, I'd want to know if I'm Cliff, what's going on in that Rams game? What's going on? Oh, the Rams are up 21-0 in the third quarter? Okay. You know, I might want to keep my eye on that stuff because that could ultimately determine whether I want to pull a guy out of that game a little bit earlier or not.
Yeah. I mean, look, we went through the last time we all went through this, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and we cited this earlier, was when Bruce Arians was coaching the Cardinals in 2015. There was an outside chance the Cardinals could move up to the number one seed. And all week long, we were kind of led to believe, oh, yeah, we're going for it. We're going to win. We're going to try to win. We're going to do everything we can to win. There's something to achieve by being the number one seed. And they went out and they took the field. And I believe it was against Seattle, if I remember right. And most of the main guys played for about a half. And that was it. Bruce kind of pulled the plug on it. And I don't know if it was because of the score of what was going on with Carolina or what. I can't remember the other circumstances around it. But they kind of played for about a half. And then when the second half started, Carson Palmer didn't play in that game. I think this will be different. I think the Cardinals will not just play their guys for a half. But I do think you're right. If that Rams game is really out of control and you know you don't have a chance of winning the division, then maybe you might pull back some of the other guys that you want to make sure you can protect for the Seattle game.
Yeah, you got to determine what's at stake here. What's at stake is a possible home field playoff game. You want that. Everybody on that team wants that. Everybody in that organization wants that. They want to win this division. They want to be NFC West champs. They want to get a home playoff game. No matter what the record at home is compared to the road, they don't want to go on the road. They want a home playoff game. And so they will play to win that game up until they know that outcome in between them and the Rams is determined. Yeah. Like, so they're going to play hard. If the Rams and the 49ers are tied all the way through into the fourth quarter, I expect the Cardinals to play as hard as they can to win that football game.
It's the last week of the NFL season, which means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Again, text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. Two words for you. Bismack Biyombo. All right, I got two more words for you. Suns win. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Basketball into the hands of Chris Paul. Paul driving, gets it into Biyombo. In for a jam. Count it. And the big fella is fouled.
Bismack Biyombo.
God. It's like, dude, where did you come from? Like, honestly, like,
where did you come from?
Where'd you come from, Bismack Biyombo?
Why were you not hired by an NBA team? Why were you not given a job at some point before the start of the season? Because you're playing
Charlotte,
way
Toronto,
too well, man.
Yeah, Orlando. This is his fourth team. Now, I think there was something with the family to where, like, I think he wasn't able to play.
You're
like,
right, and I'm joking about it. But his father had passed away.
Father passed away, and
he was kind of not willing necessarily, not in the mood to kind of go through it just yet. He wasn't ready to go through it just yet. He actually addressed that the other night in which he said, you know, this is the first time I've ever not gotten a text from my father before a basketball game. So all kidding aside, there was a real reason for it. But
here's what I said. I said this to somebody in the Suns organization last night. I said, like, I've seen this guy play. I mean, it was a first-round draft pick. I've seen the guy play plenty of times. I've never seen him play this good. The guy's been in the league since 2011. I've never seen him play this good. Like, this might be, and I'm not joking aside here, this might be the best basketball he's ever played in his life. He was never a good player. He was okay. He was a guy could rebound the basketball, block some shots, but what he's showing with the Phoenix Suns is something that I don't think he has shown anybody in the first 10 years of his NBA career.
Yeah, no, you look at, okay, outside of this year against the Suns, the highest points per game average that he had in his entire NBA career was with, let's see, it was in 2019-2020 with the Charlotte Hornets. He averaged about 7.5 points per game, 7.4 points per game. That was the most he's now. It's just been two games. He's averaging 13.5 points so far for the Phoenix Suns in these two games. He's never averaged more in a season than 7.5. Again, I know it's early. He played 53 games that year. He started 29 of them. But, I swear, watching the Suns beat the Pelicans last night, Gambo, all I could think about was Chris Paul. And I know that's a weird take to come at.
I know the same thing. He gives you so many easy baskets.
Right? I mean,
so many baskets with the pick. Because if you look, and I, you know me, I chart every single play. You know, you look at these Biombo got, almost all of the Suns' baskets are assisted. They're almost all assisted. There isn't a lot of like, I'm going to go one-on-one and, take my guy. That doesn't happen a whole lot with the Suns. It's a lot of assisted baskets. But I was watching that. You go look at his baskets. He had a dunk from Chris Paul to make it 105-101. He had a jump hook off a pass from Sun. So he had two. He go to the fourth quarter. He had a dunk on a pass from Paul to make it 105-101. He had a dunk and a three-point play off a pass from Chris Paul to make it 114-103. He doesn't get those baskets with other point guards.
No,
he get them.
He doesn't. And so you think about what's been the common thread for the Suns so far this year is that the play of their big men have improved dramatically, right? DeAndre Ayton having a great year. JaVale McGee, a great fit. Jalen Smith comes in when those two guys are on the COVID list. He starts playing well. Bismack Biyombo, you sign him off the street. Two games, he's averaging 13.5 points. What is the common denominator? What is the common thread in that whole conversation?
I hate this answer.
Chris Paul?
No, I hate the answer. You know why I hate the answer? Because Chris Paul's not going to be here for 10 years. So the question is, do you pay DeAndre Ayton a max contract, and then Chris Paul's gone in 2 years, and you're like, okay, well, you're not going to get a point guard like this. You're not going to get anybody like this. So then do these players regress? Oh, my God, I paid this guy all this money, and now he's not so good because I don't have Chris Paul anymore. I hate the answer because the truth is that Chris Paul is making everybody better. The scary part is that Chris Paul's an old, old, old player in this league that you've got for a couple more years and take advantage of it. But what's going to happen when he's gone?
Yeah, I know. That's a real big picture, long-term view of it. In the short term, I just hope it's good enough for them to win a championship. And then honestly, I don't care. I mostly don't care. I care a little. I don't want to make it sound like I don't care at all about that. And I do think that DeAndre Ayton in particular has the skill set, has the smarts to be able to rise above that need to rely on Chris Paul. I think
they all rely on him.
I know. I think DeAndre, and they do, but I think DeAndre Ayton, for his physical skill set that he offers, I think eventually he will grow out of the need to be tied to Chris Paul, and quite frankly, has already started to a little bit. Those other guys, they're playing some of the best basketball of their career. And it's hard not to think that Chris Paul is the main reason why. I understand what you're saying. It is.
I think it's scary because you're going to invest in a lot of players over the next couple of years based on. And I'll just give you an example. And I'm not saying any of these guys are like this, but you know how much money those Bulls players made off of playing with Michael Jordan?
Sure.
Luke Longley, Scott Williams. Mm-hmm. All those guys, they all made a ton of money.
Tony Kukoc, yeah.
Everybody made. They got bank.
They all got paid.
And then they went and they weren't with Jordan anymore. It was like, remember when the Suns got Luke Longley and he opened up a restaurant with a shrimp on the Barbie? He sucked. Dude, how are you even in this league? But Michael Jordan actually made Michael Jordan made Will Perdue and Bill Wennington look good.
Yeah.
But all those guys got paid, man. I love Scotty Williams. He got paid by Philly. Philly paid him. They all those guys were not as good as those teams that signed them thought they were because they were playing with Jordan. There is a belief that, and it's true. It's just true. We just got to deal with it. Now, I don't think that DeAndre Ayton is Will Perdue. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, man, at some point, Chris isn't going to be here, and I just wonder if they've got if these guys are going to regress because of that.
Chris Paul was asked about Bismack Biyombo, who had 16 and 6 last night. He was 6 of 6 from the floor. He had 3 blocks. He had a couple of steals. And he said, the dude just fits into our culture around here.
He just fits our culture, man. Biz know how to play. Whatever you need, screen, rebound. Biz just came from the crib, right?
Yeah.
He did, you know what I mean? But he's a consummate pro, and some guys in this league, you never get a chance to play with, you know what I mean? But I'm glad that we get an opportunity to, because I think he compliments a lot of us, and I think we do the same for him.
Now, are they going to keep him beyond this 10-day
window? Yeah, I think so.
I hope so.
We'll ask James Jones at 3, but I think that there's a chance.
Yeah.
I do. I think there's a chance.
And I don't know how much he'll play when Ayton and McGee get back. But you know, James Jones has talked a lot about wanting to be three deep at every single position. So like a 3x5 basically built basketball team. Five positions times three for three players at each spot. Now, if Jalen Smith slides back over to the four, Biyombo becomes a heck of a five. Now, Kaminsky, when is he coming back? I don't know.
Well, ask that question.
Yeah.
Does Biyombo deserve more playing time than Kaminsky?
After two games, boy, Kaminsky's... That's a tough one, because I've got more proof with Kaminsky, right? I've got more evidence. I've got more games with Kaminsky to be able to say, you know, I'm two games off of Bismack Biyombo. Am I ready to put him ahead of Frank Kaminsky? You know? But
I'm just asking a question.
I know. And
games, we don't have a lot to judge by it. But you know, what you've seen out of Biyombo has been a really talented basketball player. And, you know, he might be better than Frank Kaminsky right now.
He might be.
Like, Frank's limited. Frank's always been limited. He'll give you a hustle and everything, but he's limited. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that Biyombo might be a better option for the Suns than Frank Kaminsky. I believe it might. I believe it might be.
Yeah, Biyombo's got just some girth to him, you know, some physicality to him that sometimes Frank
could rebound,
lacks
block
a little
shots.
Bit. Yeah.
Did you see that? You know, there was a play last night that just, if I would have been in a crowd, I would have been screaming. I would have. There was a pass from Chris Paul behind his back to Biyombo for a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes and 33 seconds left, third quarter. It made it 88-73, put the Suns up by 15. You know, you look at that play, and it's like, okay, Biyombo gets this. Man, Chris Paul with a behind-the-back bounce pass to Biyombo. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like, what are we watching here?
And then later, the play that impressed me almost as much was Biyombo gets the ball off to the side of the basket, and like he's been playing in this system for 2 years – turns around and hits Cam Johnson in the corner for an open three.
For three. Yeah.
Right? I mean, he just almost like, and they even commented on the game, man, that's a play DeAndre Ayton would have made, right?
Like you.
Yeah, there he is right behind me. There's the open shooter. He's red hot. He's shooting 50% from threes for the last, you know, month and a half. Get him the ball. It's
120 to 106.
Yeah.
That Cam hits the three-pointer, the pass from Biyombo. They go up 120 to 106. It was just, you fit, man. For a guy that's only been here for a week, right? He looked like he fit right in. He knew where everybody was. Like, that's basketball IQ. To get that ball and to pass it to Cam so quickly to where he's able to get off a shot without it being contested, that's just good basketball. Smart basketball.
Text us your thoughts on the state of the Suns roster and the state of the Suns. The FanDuel text line is open at 620-620.
I'm going to text it. Will you read it if I text you?
Sure.
I'm going to text something to the FanDuel.
Sure, absolutely.
Just put your name and where you're calling from or texting from, if you will.
Exactly. Okay. This is Gambo.
Larry.
This is Larry texting in on the FanDuel text line. 620-620 is where you can get a hold of us. When we get back on the Burns and Gambo show, Kyler Murray, easily his best performance since coming back from his injury. And for him, it sounds like it came at just the right time. That's coming up, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Well, let's turn it over to Mitch. This is exactly what we were talking about in the last segment of the show as it relates to the Suns. Their big win over the Pelicans last night. Offensively, everything was clicking. It wasn't just Bismack Biyombo. He's just the one we talked about the most in the last segment because of another kind of breakout game that he had. Booker had a great game. Chris Paul had 15 assists. Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, both just shooting absolutely lights out. It was just a really, really solid performance all the way around offensively, and the Suns go 2-1 on the road. But given the performance of Jalen Smith and now Bismack Biyombo with the COVID status of DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee, this was the question we came up with. How you doing, Mitch?
I'm good. Burnsy, how are you? Gambo, yourself?
Good.
Good.
I just retweeted your question.
Thank you. We need those extra votes today because I think this is going to be a contentious topic going in, but let's take a look. So we're assuming now we're at a point that DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee have cleared protocols. They're fully healthy. And we're in a situation where Biyombo is still a member of the Suns, and of course Jalen Smith still a member of the Suns. So we're asking today, when Ayton and McGee are healthy, should more minutes be allocated to Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo?
Regular season?
Yes. Regular season, okay.
Regular season, yes. Keep the other guys fresh. Now, come playoff time, no. Come playoff time, I'm riding JaVale McGee and DeAndre Ayton. I'm not playing any of those other guys, unless of emergency. Regular season, though? Sure, why not?
You know, initially I was going to say know that they shouldn't. But it's a long season, and keeping in the name of keeping guys fresh, and since we didn't specify how many minutes.
No.
We just said minutes.
Yes.
Right? More I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot.
We want more. We want more.
I'll vote yes as well. I'll vote yes. I was initially going to vote no, but I'm minutes is really, really vague, and it could just mean one more minute per game. I'm going to vote yes. More minutes should be allocated to those guys.
All right. Early returns are very much in favor of seeing a little more Jalen Smith, a little more Bismack Biyombo. In fact, 63.3% of them say more minutes to those guys. 36.7% say no.
But remember, we asked almost exactly the same question after Frank Kaminsky went through that, what was it, 5 or 6 game stretch where he was just absolutely
killing
it. He scored
31 points against the Trailblazers.
And then he didn't play.
He didn't play at all. He just, yep, thank you. Appreciate what you've done.
It's like the Suns' version of load management is just giving minutes to guys and less minutes to the stars on day in, day out.
And I mean, really, when we think about it, Gambo, is it any different than what we saw last year with Etuan Moore or Langston Galloway, right? Like those were guys that were sitting at the end of the bench, and when it was absolutely necessary for them to give them minutes, they did, and they did it well, but nobody was under the impression that either of those guys were going to contribute much more than that beyond when it was in case of emergency break last time.
Yeah, but you know what? You never know when that emergency is going to come. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why I would play these guys. I would play these guys because, you know, I want to give them the minutes and get them prepared for in case I do need you. In case I do have to break the damn glass, I want, you know, I want a fire extinguisher that's going
to
work.
Yeah, I want to be able to pull a handle and know the fire department's going to get called. So,
right. Pull out an axe and, you know, I could break open the door with it. I need it to work.
I certainly think they've both earned that opportunity. And even if it's just one more minute per game to give DeAndre Ayton one less minute on the floor, or JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee is a guy who can get in a little bit of foul trouble from time to time. And if JaVale McGee is having one of those games where he picks up a bunch of fouls, I'd have absolutely no problem throwing in one of those other guys to back up DeAndre Ayton to save Ayton a little bit. So we'll see. We got James Jones coming up in an hour. We'll see what he has to say about this little two-game audition that Bismack Biyombo has put on and what it might mean for his future with the Phoenix Suns. In the meantime, Kyler Murray today. It's Wednesday. He met with the media in advance of the Cards' regular season finale against the Seahawks, then the playoff game sometime next weekend. As a team, he says, it's about getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, that's the thing that I feel like it's a battle mentally. Like, you know, the energy it's last Sunday compared to the energy against the Lions. It's not that we weren't prepared or ready. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's something that I wish I knew the answer to. But, you know, it's completely two different teams out there. And I wish I knew the answer to that. But, I definitely feel like, you know, as a team, you know, it's about getting hot at the right time and going into the playoffs. You wouldn't want to go into the playoffs feeling how we felt 3 weeks ago, that's for sure. So, I think that was a good head start for us to win this past Sunday, and hopefully get the job done this weekend. That way we can, you know, feel even better going into the playoffs.
I wish he had an answer to the question,
yeah,
why.
We'll do.
You know, what? Where was that energy against the Lions? You know, where was that energy during that 3-game losing? And that Lions game in particular is the one that just stands out like a sore thumb. You know, where was that day? Because that day, when you think about the fortunes that singular day against the Lions might have changed for the Cardinals in 2021, it's kind of one game, just that one game. And even he's like, I don't know. I don't know the answer why we had the energy against Dallas and why we didn't against Detroit. I just don't know.
Well, let's look at it. If they had won that game against the Lions, then we'd be going into this game right now with they still wouldn't have the number one seed. It would have been clinched by Green Bay. But you would be, you know, you would be at 12-4. The Rams would be at 12-4. You would still need to win this game. So I don't know. It's an interesting question, right? Because if they win that game, they're 12-4, the Rams are 12-4. They still have to win this week to win the division.
Yeah, if because the Rams
or have the Rams lose.
Yeah, I think as it would stand, the Cardinals would win the tiebreaker over the Rams, and they would be right now in first place in the division. But you're right, I believe, in that they would still have to win, or the Rams would have to lose to make sure you still held on to the division. So you would still be kind of in a similar position of needing to win and hoping the Rams lose so that they don't pass you when it comes to that. It'd be a lot more on the line in that regard in this game. I think more than anything, just them trying to rebuild their confidence a little bit and to rebuild that momentum and to feel good about themselves a little bit going into the playoffs, because you were in the middle of it, so was I. These last 3 weeks, it's been dismal around here talking about the Cardinals. It was painful watching them fall apart. Now we're all asking ourselves the question, have they done enough to rebuild that confidence enough so that when they go into the playoffs, they are truly a dangerous out, a team you do not want to play? Are they there yet? I don't know. But they needed a game like Dallas to at least start to put Humpty Dumpty back together again and get back to that point.
Yeah, no question. I think if they would have lost that game, and then you backdoor your way in, and it's you don't have any confidence. You want to go in playing with confidence, believing that you can – you could beat anybody you play. And I think that win last week on the road against Dallas probably has him back to that point. But you don't want to undo, like I said earlier, right? I said this a couple times. Like, you can't undo the damage you did with that three-game losing streak. There was damage done. Now, that win against Dallas gets you back on the right track, and a win against Seattle will go a long way too. But then the playoff game will ultimately determine where you're at, I mean, if they go on the road and they lose a playoff game, we'll all question what would have happened if they would have been able to, to win more games and get home field or get the number one overall seed, because that stuff's, that number one overall seed is out of the picture now. They can't get that. They could still get a home game, but they can't have more than one.
We talked about the L.A. Rams 49ers game going on at the same time as the Cardinals game. Kyler was asked today just how much he's going to be paying attention to that during his own game.
I'm not monitoring anything. I'm sure, we'll see the score on Sunday or whatever happens between, whoever, the implications and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. Me personally, I'm focused on the Seahawks. And as far as staying healthy goes, that's idea. Ideal is keeping everybody healthy going into the playoffs. So I think that's just, for me, I don't really think about getting hurt or health and stuff like that. I just go play my game. And try to stay as safe as possible while doing it. So.
How do you not monitor it? Of course you're going to monitor it, right? Even if it's just looking up at the big board and getting a score every now and then. You're going to – that's human nature. You can't – there's a trainer on the sideline with you. Hey, what's the score of the Rams 49ers game? You're not going to ask? You're not going to want to know?
You find out you're tied. You got the ball with 4 minutes left, and you just found out that the 49ers pulled ahead of the Rams. You're not going to bring that up in the huddle?
Sure. It's
49ers just took the lead on the Rams. Let's go stuff this down their face, score, and get this home field game. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they'll know. They'll yes. know. They'll know on that sideline. Look, I've never been on an NFL sideline during a game. So I don't want to sit here and assure everybody I know exactly how this is going to go. But there are enough people on that sideline with the kind of access to the information necessary to be able to pass along a score or two to Cliff or Kyler in the middle of the game or in a headset or whatever the case may be. He's going to know. Now, is he going to be sitting on the sideline watching the NFL Red Zone on DirecTV? No, of course not. But a score being fed to him at some point during the game or an up,
I don't imagine Cliff's going to miss a play call coming in because he's paying attention to the game that's going on in LA and San Francisco.
No, but there's look.
I don't know. You play to win. You could say you play to win. You let the chips fall where they may, right? But I would I would imagine they're keeping their eye on that game because ultimately that game may determine what you do. It may determine your ability to pull some guys out of the game because there's nothing. Once there's nothing left to play for, then there's no reason to keep Kyler, especially Kyler, in the game.
Yeah, and you know what? I even think the opposite is more true. If San Francisco is beating Los Angeles throughout the course of that game, there's going to be an undeniable energy in the building. There's going to be, and that is going to, that result, that up-to-the-minute update of what's going on with the Niners and the Rams, that information will find its way to the Cardinals bench throughout the course of that game, especially – if San Francisco is winning and you have a chance to reclaim the division in the NFC West. I assure you, they will know what is going on in that game while the game is being played. Again, they're not going to be watching it. They're not going to be sitting on the sideline with their TVs, but they're going to know, and the energy in that building will tell them what's going on in that game, because it will be a fever pitch if they have a chance to win the division with a win on Sunday.
Well, if you know the Rams are winning that game going away, then I don't. The emphasis on the Cardinals beating Seattle and going into the playoffs on a win doesn't matter much to me.
Nope. No, doesn't. It doesn't really have much meaning to it. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Cliff Kingsbury is not the kind of head coach that has garnered a ton of credibility yet. Could one win change all that? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Don't forget, coming up at 3 o'clock, we've got our Big Suns block of programming. Our roundtable, and today's guest is the co-host of the Bickley and Murata Show, Vince Murata. The Vince Murata. We'll be joining. I know.
You probably know all those movie lines.
I don't know. You might have gotten him on, was it All About Eve? You might have gotten him on that one. There's a couple there you might have gotten him on. He'll join us at 3 o'clock, and he'll be on with us for two segments talking Suns basketball. And then at 3:30, James Jones will join us. A lot of Suns talk coming up from 3 until 3:45. If you're a Suns fan, you want to hear all about the state of the team, you're going to want to hang out for that, because it's going to be a lot of good Suns conversation, and it's always good to have Vinny on the show. Meanwhile, from the Cards, and Gambo, this was something you and I started to get into. It was either yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. But Dan Bickley wrote about it today at ArizonaSports.com, Vince's co-host from Bickley and Murata, and of course our lead columnist at ArizonaSports.com. Playoff win is the only way for Cliff to silence his critics. That's the headline of the story. And basically the gist of the column is this, is that Cliff, while having won 11 games, and the only coach to do that in Arizona other than Bruce Arians is Cliff Kingsbury, and having gotten the team to the playoffs, he's checked the big box. He won enough games, he got the team to the playoffs, certainly enough to keep his job, probably enough to warrant a contract extension in the offseason.
Right.
That has not stopped the critics from coming out, especially during the three-game losing streak, and you saw it, so did I. His lack of success at the end of seasons when he was with Texas Tech, his lack of success at the end of the seasons with the Arizona Cardinals, the fact that they were 0-5 with a chance to clinch a playoff spot, something that can't be corrected until next year.
Right. Yeah, they won a playoff. They clinched a playoff spot with a loss.
Yeah, that
They lost and clinched the day they lost.
That 0-5 record carries over to next
year.
Carries
over.
Yeah, they're still going to be 0-5 under Cliff with a chance to clinch a playoff spot.
Right, right, right.
How much do you think, and this is the whole theme of Bickley's column, how much do you think Cliff needs a win in the playoffs to erase all that?
I don't think it matters.
You don't think so? Tell me why.
I think the critics are going to be there whether he wins or loses.
Okay.
I just think Cliff comes with critics. It's always going to be that way. His path to the NFL is not the path that anybody, you know, it's not the path you're used to. It's not the path that you expect. It's not the path that these NFL experts and all the critics, they don't like the path Cliff took. They don't like the guy got fired in college, never worked in the NFL, and he gets a head coaching job. These are prime real estate, these jobs. And so there will always be that, you know, that, I don't want to say hatred, but just the dislike of Cliff. There's always going to be the critics. I don't think one playoff win or two playoff wins silences the critics. I think the critics will always be there, and they will always look to pounce when Cliff struggles. When Cliff, oh, you see, and you know, because when it was 7-0, when they were 8-1, the critics were still coming out of the woodwork and not believing in the Arizona Cardinals. So I don't know that he'll ever be able to get away from that.
I'm laughing because it's been a while since we've talked about it. Did you order the ceramic middle finger on Amazon.com?
No, I mean, no.
He's not going to win coach of the year. There's no one to send the ceramic middle finger to, right?
Yeah, but listen, those critics were there when, look, they won three games. Then Cliff comes in, they win five. Then they win eight. Now they've got 11. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's done a good job. Like, you can nitpick all you want, but you took a three-win team to five, then to eight, 10, then to 11, and in the playoffs. The critics are still there. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in his system. And more importantly than not believing in his system, they don't like the path that he took to get to the NFL.
Yeah.
And so they're always going to this. Those critics are always going to be there.
I think there's a midway point between what you're saying and what Bick wrote.
I mean, maybe.
I think that midway point is there will always be some critics of Cliff. On that topic, I think you're 100% right. I think the only way Cliff could ever fix that is to win a Super Bowl with the Arizona Cardinals, and that might really actually shut everybody up when it comes to people who don't like the path Cliff. Because I think you're very much on to something when you're talking about the path that he took to get here and how people don't like the path. I do think some of the critics, some of those who say specifically about Cliff, that the biggest problem they have with Cliff is that his teams don't finish seasons well at all. They never did it in Texas Tech. They never did it with Arizona. They're 0-5 with a chance to clinch playoffs. If that's your specific gripe about Cliff Kingsbury, I think those critics can have their minds changed if they win a playoff game. Because I think those people will go, okay, you know what, on second thought, I didn't think Cliff's teams finished very well, either at Texas Tech or with the Arizona Cardinals. They just went to Dallas and won a playoff game.
I respect your opinion. I think they'll find a way to say there was something wrong with the team that they beat. Oh, they beat the Cowboys. Oh, they've been terrible, the Cowboys. Who did they beat? They didn't beat anybody.
Wow.
Look at the quarterbacks they beat in the last 4 weeks. Ezekiel Elliott's not the same. I think that they'll find a way if they win a playoff. The Rams. Oh, they beat the Rams and Matthew Stafford. So what? Matthew Stafford hasn't won a playoff game. He's been in the league since 1942. I think that if Cliff wins a playoff game, it'll be more about the other team than it will about what a great job Cliff did. That's my opinion.
No, you know what? And I'll be honest with you. You might be right. Maybe I'm just this is not a good strategy.
Beat Tampa Bay or Green Bay, and we got a different story. I think maybe that's the midpoint. If they beat Philadelphia or San Francisco or Dallas in a playoff game, there's going to be a lot of people. Oh yeah, Cliff. Okay, so what? He beat San Francisco. They suck. You know, who was their quarterback? Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't even want him. You know, if they beat Philadelphia, I mean, you know, they'll rip Philly. If they beat that Dallas, they'll talk about how bad Dallas is. It has to be Brady or Rodgers to get people to give him that respect. So that would be, if you want me to give in a little bit and find a midway point, I think that's the midway point. You can win a game and get credit, but damn it, it better be against one of those power teams.
Yeah, and look, even if that happens, I think you're right. He'll still have his critics. I guess I'm hoping, and like I say, that's not a real good strategy to have in a conversation like this. I'm hoping that with a win, some of those critics would go away. And your view of this might be a little more cynical than mine, but you might not be wrong. And the more you're talking about it, the more, I'm not going to lie to you, you're sort of convincing me that they will find reasons to poke holes in it depending on who they beat.
Depending on who they beat.
I'm looking right,
unless it's Green Bay or Tampa.
Yeah, I'm looking at the NFL Network right now, and they're replaying the Cardinals-Cowboys game, and I'm not watching the game, but it's on here in the studio. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, if they go to Dallas and beat them, it's going to be, well, Kyler Murray's now 9-0 in that stadium. And Dallas, they hadn't beaten anybody good in 2 months, and Dallas this and Dallas that. And
okay, let me take it a step further. Monday, one of the main, we have a lot of communication before the show. I get ready, you get ready. One of the main things that you sent to me was a list of the quarterbacks that the Cowboys had beaten during the win streak.
Yes.
It was all garbage.
It was garbage. Pure garbage.
Isn't that a way to kind of knock the Cowboys?
Of course. Oh, that was my purpose in sending it to you, was to knock the Cowboys. That was my whole point, was to say, man, what the hell have the Cowboys done to deserve all this respect they're getting?
Right, so if the Cardinals beat the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
I just don't think that, Cliff gets all the respect now. No, you go beat somebody that matters. No, we shouldn't care that much about it. Cliff, in the end, Cliff's going to get a contract extension. He's going to be the coach of the Arizona Cardinals next year. And he's going to go into next year, and halfway through the season, we're going to talk about the collapses that Cliff Kingsbury has had. It's going to happen. That's inevitable. It's going to happen. But I think to really get the respect that some people may want him to get, whether you want it or not, I don't care. But for those people that are saying, for Cliff to get the respect and to get the critics off, it's got to be beat Green Bay or Tampa. It's not going to come against Philly, San Francisco, or Dallas.
And to be fair, Bickley pointed that out in his column too. Like, it doesn't strike him that Cliff even really cares about the critics or any of that stuff. That to him, he seems like he's very comfortable in his own skin. And if you like him or if you don't, or if you think he deserved the gig or if you didn't, it doesn't really seem to faze him that much. He does seem very comfortable in his own skin. It's a good column. You can read it at ArizonaSports.com right now, written by our own Dan Bickley. Speaking of Dan Bickley, his co-host every morning, of course, is Vince Murata. And, of course, Vince Murata loves talking about the Phoenix Suns. He's the PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns. And when we come back, 45 minutes of nonstop Suns talk, starting with our Round Ball Roundtable. The co-host of the Bickley and Murata Show, PA announcer for your Suns, Vince Murata, joins us next here on Burns and Gambo.